And welcome into the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, happy Wednesday morning. How are you? What's going on?
Hey. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, microphone. Thank you, Ian. Yeah, I'm fine. This is probably mean of me to say, but in my defense, it's been kind of a busy couple of days, some travel, stuff
sure.
like that. I was sound asleep before puck drop last night. I just want you to know that.
Good for you.
I'm so sorry.
Shootout last night.
Yeah, perfect. The 8:30 TNT start also brings us all the way to a shootout.
Yeah, and I would have loved 8:30. Yeah, I mean, the real thing was 8:52. I mean, I was looking at it, and I was like, puck dropped, 8:52. Just clicked 8:53. All right, let's go.
Oh, 52. My God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had to start on True TV.
Yeah, overtime in the other game. Yeah,
shootout. Hey. Shootout in that one, too.
So True TV gets another, it's like March Madness for 2 weeks, and now this.
They're like, turnover, start of game
is over.
On True TV, and I look over, it's like, oh, it's 2-1. I missed, so, but whatever.
So did you stay up to watch the whole
game? I made it till, I think, about 10 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I've been trying to work on, my language and stuff, and, always be good. Better. Always be better there.
That's nice.
Cale Makar scored. With 8 seconds left in regulation last night, well, that went out the door. It's like, oh, good. Overtime in a game that's already should have been over with 2 hours ago. Great.
Unbelievable.
Awesome. And then it went all the way to the shootout. And then in the Long last fuse. Part of the shootout, we had to sit there for about 3 minutes while they determined if they're going to take Colorado's goalie out of the game or not. There's a lot of stuff going on last night. But, hey. Nice win for the Preds.
Big dub.
We'll get into that.
Big dub for the Preds.
A little bit later in the show. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be with us later in the program. We will have a Titans win to discuss with him. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans. We're going to get into a little bit more of the coaching search front today as well. So all that coming up later in the show, talking all things Tennessee Titans. Joe, we begin with Philip Rivers. He's back officially. He has signed with the Colts practice squad, so I guess the workout went good enough both from his perspective and from the Colts' perspective, where they've decided to move forward with this thing here, and here he is signing back at the age of 44 after not having played in the NFL since the year 2020, and he is with the practice squad with the Indianapolis Colts, and I would presume that in the not-too-distant future he will not be on the practice squad and will be the actual starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. Otherwise, I don't really know what he's doing. So, Joe, your thoughts on Philip Rivers officially back in the National Football League.
Well, it's an amazing story. I mean, this to me means that, like, we're going to need a Philip Rivers movie, at least maybe like a Disney movie. Do they still do, like, Disney movies, like, that, you know, they can watch on Sunday night?
Or sure.
Am I a semi-boomer? I don't know. But
trillion kids would love the Disney movie, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, I saw a clip yesterday on Instagram. Not to interrupt you, I'm sorry.
Fine.
But it was like Philip Rivers and his kids helping him get back in the NFL, and it's the scene from Rocky. I don't remember which one, maybe three, where he's just running through Philadelphia, and there's like marathon of kids behind him. It was absolutely hilarious. I just lost it.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyway, continue. So.
Yeah, no, it's what a story. It'll actually be a big downer. I mean, like, if Riley Leonard can play this week, like, you probably go that route still, I guess. I don't know. But it's going to be kind of a downer if we don't immediately get Philip Rivers on the field. It's just like, it's possible moving forward, I think, that, you know, he'd give you a chance. He'll give you more of a chance. That's why they did it this week. I mean, you cannot possibly have a worse, right? Like, there aren't many worse situations than, yes, you're at Seattle in that stadium against that defense. And yet, I mean, I'm already, like, you know, planning my Sunday around it now, so... I mean, it's a crazy story, for a guy to be out this long. And by the way, I did hear this on Sportsless earlier, and I think I wasn't sure about this. People have asked about this. So if he goes active roster at all, then that resets the Hall of Fame clock.
Okay.
So, but does this get him in?
Well,
if he gets them to the playoffs, He's got to then
push him over the top.
Give him the gold jacket. Give him the gold jacket.
I think he's got a decent shot anyway of getting in, but that would be something. What if he goes in? What if the Colts go on to win a Super Bowl with Phillip Rivers as their starting quarterback?
Well, then he should have his own wing. You know, the thing is with him, and I heard Chris Candy kind of making the case for him on ESPN Radio, but I think he's very similar to the guy he's always been tied with because of that draft, which is Eli Manning, right?
Yeah.
The different in both cases, I don't think either of them were ever like top shelf quarterbacks of their time, right? But they also had a lot of years, a lot of production, did really well. The difference is that Eli has the two Super Bowl wins over Brady, you know, and Rivers doesn't even have an appearance. I don't know, man. I would guess he would not be in at this point. Close, but no cigar. But now, I mean, hey, is this part of the reasoning for this for him?
Well, maybe. I don't know. I mean, look, the numbers he put up are outrageous. I mean, he's thrown for 63,000 yards, 421 touchdowns. Like, he's got really good numbers. Now, people have joked that he's looked at the all-time passing list. I think Stafford's like a couple hundred yards behind him now, and he's like, no. You're not going to be passing me, Matthew Stafford. I don't know what all goes into that. To your point, there was not a lot of postseason success for Phillip Rivers.
And there were some specific failures where he threw picks and stuff. Like, yeah, that's the problem.
Right. And, you know, to your point, it's not his fault. But he's also playing at the same time largely throughout his career that, you know, Brady was playing, Peyton Manning was playing, Big Ben was playing, Drew Brees was playing. Like, there's pretty darn good quarterbacks that he's directly compared against.
And, of course, you know, Drew Brees, that's the whole thing, too.
Right.
The Chargers decided to move on from him. And, you know, really, look, he won a Super Bowl. So, I mean, you can't say it's not better than what Phillip Rivers did.
I mean, I didn't even mention Favre and Rodgers at the same time, too. So
yeah, there's that.
A lot of direct comparisons that could make it difficult.
That's always an interesting thing with that, though. It's like, so, you know, because, like, I think Derrick Henry's going to get in and should get in. But some of the argument is, like, he's clearly, like, the best back or whatever in this time. So why do you get penalized? Why do you necessarily get penalized if during your era there just happened to be a ton of, really, you know what I mean? Some eras just have more great quarterbacks than others. So that would be part of the counter argument on behalf of Rivers. Like, just look at what he did. Again, the postseason thing is what, to me, I think will make it tough for him.
It is kind of amazing. Like, he threw for over 4,000 yards for 8 consecutive years to close out his career. And, like, the 1 year he didn't, back in 2012, he threw for 3,600 yards, and he had four more 4,000-yard seasons before that. So you're talking 10 out of 11 years to close out his career, it's 4,000 yards. Like I said, I mean, the numbers are pretty impressive when you look at them.
Yeah, but he was, you know, it's amazing with that franchise. It's like Rivers, I was sitting here with Justin Herbert, who is obviously a special talent, and, of course, the greatest of all, Dan Fouts.
Yes.
As we all know, as we all acknowledge. But, you know, no, but nothing to show for it, you know.
Right.
All that franchise quarterbacking. And not a single Super Bowl appearance to show for it.
Very limited postseason success. You know, look, I have no idea what this is going to do for the Colts. It feels to me, Joe, you know, all joking aside, like a team that is extremely desperate given, number one, how they started the season, but number two, some of the moves they've made throughout the course of the season, and they are trying like mad to make something work here. Now, look, in 2020, they brought him in. And I will say, of the kind of second-stop quarterbacks that they brought in, be it him, Wentz, and Matt Ryan, he by far was the best. So, I mean, he got him to the playoffs and, you know, didn't work out in the playoffs. But he had a good year for the Colts. But that was 5 years ago. So, I just – as fun of a story as it is, as hilarious in some ways as I think it is, I mean, I've got – extremely limited expectations from the 44-year-old guy who hadn't played football in 5 years that he's going to come in and actually do much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, though, it's like, okay, was this all Daniel Jones? Daniel Jones was really good. They have arguably the best running back in the NFL. They have a good defense. I mean, this has been just an all-around really good team. I think that they have, you know, as we've talked about earlier in the year, like they have a lot of good receivers, and obviously Warren was a tremendous pickup. If he can just come in and manage games, you know, I don't think he has to necessarily throw for 350 and three touchdowns for them to win some of these games and at least get into the tournament.
I just don't want him to get hit. Don't hit him. They ought to put a red jersey on him.
So there'd be like an age.
You can't hit a literal grandfather. Like, you can't do that.
How many literal grandfathers have played in the NFL?
I mean, I don't know.
Probably some, but I mean, it can't be too many, right?
I mean, I would think, like, I don't know the life and history of, like, Ken Stabler's relationship status.
Yeah, there hasn't been too many guys over 40 playing
Kenny
in general.
The Snake Stabler was a great grandfather, actually.
It's like, wow. Look how old Ken Stabler is out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, George Blanda was playing, like, at age, like, 48, ripping darts on the sideline. He may have had, I mean, I have no idea. This is a good question. I need ESPN Stats and Info or Elias Sports Bureau to come up with how many literal grandfathers have played in the NFL.
It's a great question. Ed on the text line says, seeing Rivers return, will this inspire Rex Road back to the Titans beat? Joe, your thoughts?
Hey, I do what I'm told at work. Also, I was never actually on the Titans beat technically. But I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
I do know what you mean.
I do not deserve that credit. For people like, you know, Kaharski and Jimmy Wyatt,
which I'm sure he'll be happy to remind you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I did write columns about the Titans, and I miss it. Every once in a while, it's like, boy, I could rip off 1,000 really nasty words right now. I didn't have other stuff to do.
Is this true that Brett Favre became a grandfather during his final year in 2010?
That could be possible.
Okay,
yeah, that could add up.
Okay.
While playing for the Vikings?
I mean, I could see that being the case. I don't know that for sure, but I could see that being
That's
the case.
That's the only one that – this is from People magazine.
Yeah, the average parent age in Kill, Mississippi is probably about 14, so it's possible.
By the way, we love the people of Mississippi on our show. Just let that be known.
I'm just calling out Kill, Mississippi in particular.
There you go.
I mean, just like just what a name.
Specifically that place.
What a name for a town. Kill, Mississippi.
I'd love to look into the history of that. I don't know it, so there's got to be a reason that happened.
Yeah, it's a good point.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're off and running on what could be a doozy of a program this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. I'm on about 3 hours of sleep, maybe. We'll see how it goes. Rex Road's taking shots at the state of Mississippi. We'll take more of your thoughts.
I was just there.
At 615-737-1025, our phone number. And coming up next, I'll ask the question, does the number one overall pick at all affect the attractiveness of this job for a prospective head coach? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Join Chase and Big Joe today from noon to 3 at Dunkin', located at 1645 West Main Street in Lebanon. Stop by with a stuffed toy, donate it to a child this holiday season. We're teaming up with the Nashville Children's Alliance to give all these awesome stuffed toys donated by you just for stopping by. You'll be qualified for a 4-pack of tickets in the all-inclusive 501 Club at Bridgestone Arena to a Preds home game. Special thanks to the Metro Nashville Police Department, the Catalano Group, the Bluemont Group, Family Leisure, Thompson Machinery, Richmar Florist, Reichtime HVAC, and Relidyne for their support on this as well. For more information and a list of Dunkin' locations that you can donate a stuffed toy, visit thegamenashville.com/toy. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, throwing this question out there. You know, Titans fans, some that we've heard from this week, freaking out a little bit that they won the football game and now they don't control their own destiny for the number one overall pick. You got the Giants currently holding that spot. The Raiders right behind them, as you mentioned earlier this week. Those two teams do play each other to close out the string here, so we'll see what happens in that game. But my question is this. You know, we are just a few weeks away at this point, Joe, from getting pretty heavily into the Titans head coaching discussion. I mean, it feels like we've been having that discussion for a while now, but when you fire your head coach in like week 6 or whatever it was, for the Titans, that creates a long time to be able to talk about this. So my question is this. How much does the number one overall pick influence the attractiveness of maybe taking this job if you're a prospective candidate. From this standpoint, you know, normally if you've got the number one overall pick and you're coming in as a new head coach, it probably means, in all likelihood, that you're going to have a chance to evaluate and select a quarterback with that pick. And I don't think that's going to be the case here. They've just selected a quarterback. So, I mean, I think if you're looking at the number one overall pick right now, I know if you're a Titans fan and you're looking at it this way, it's an opportunity to trade back and pick up some more picks and maybe have a chance to more quickly build your roster around the quarterback that you just drafted by weaponizing the number one overall pick this year. So, Joe, with all that in mind, does it matter at all from a head coaching perspective when you're looking at candidates and you're trying to make this job as attractive as humanly possible if you're the Titans, knowing that there could be some good candidates out there and there could be some jobs that are available that, frankly, right now are just better jobs than yours is? Does it matter at all when it comes to the next head coach if the Titans get the number one overall pick or not?
Well, I don't think – I mean, I think it's down the list. I mean, it's something that if I'm a prospective candidate, I definitely feel better about them having it, but it's still not nearly as important to me as, like, what you think about Cam Ward. What you think about Cam Ward, what you think about other guys on the roster, do you look at it and say, okay, we can – I mean, obviously everybody's going to say, yeah, I'm glad to have 98 on this team. Okay, DK, there's a guy, looks like maybe a playmaker – Cedric Gray, Skoronski, you know, I don't know. How many players on the roster do you go down and say, okay, we've got – there's a little bit of a young nucleus there. And then – and also, I mean, to me, obviously, a huge thing is more than the pick itself, the picker, you know. Like, what does the coach think about Mike Borgonzi? And, I mean, really, like, what do you have to go on? Obviously, yeah, he was part of the Chiefs. I mean – that's great. There's plenty of people who are parts of highly successful organizations go out on their own and it doesn't work out. First draft class, again, it kind of all ties together. What do you think of Cam Ward? Because the first draft class will always be judged by that, but did some other good things in there. So, yeah, like, I guess if you're comfortable with all that stuff, I don't feel like them picking fourth or something is like some non-starter. You know?
No, I just don't think there's a long list right now of like attractive things about this job at the moment.
I mean,
it's from an ownership standpoint, we know what that's been like. It's been totally in flux in terms of job stability and security and all those things. They've not done hardly any winning over the last few years. They really don't. I mean, as much as I do like DK, and it was nice to see Io Manor find his way into the end zone, and I think Gunnar Helm has got some potential to maybe a decent, pretty good tight end in the league. They really don't have a whole lot of young building blocks right now. Like, they're in need of a lot more of those as they move forward here. So I guess I'm approaching this from the standpoint of they need all of the boxes that are able to be checked as much as they can get. They don't have a lot right now. And I wonder, the number one overall pick, does that help you at all in this discussion, knowing that you're not taking a quarterback with that pick?
Yeah, you definitely would. And especially it's like it's all – then you tie all that together to like, okay, this team has a number one overall pick. And, okay, people are absolutely in love with Fernando Mendoza. Like, I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I mean, I think he's probably going to go first would be my guess. But also I still feel like it's a little bit of by default more than it is like, oh, my God, this guy's an incredible generational talent.
Right.
So, you know, there's all that, too. It's like, how much can it help you to have it? Yeah, look, I think you're right. Like, there aren't a ton of attractive things about this job. I mean, Kaharsky tells us that. I mean, we can ask him when he comes in here. I mean, he's big on, like, you know, these wins are great for the culture. So, I don't know, as a coach – does a coach say, oh, good, that team got a couple meaningless wins in December. I feel better about that nucleus. I don't know. I mean, Kaharsky seems to think this is a massively important thing to win a couple games. So maybe a coach says, hey, there's a team that's they were 3-14, but they learned to win a couple games. So I feel great about it. I'm being sarcastic, of course. Because I think Kaharsky overrates.
A lot of winning done.
But, I mean, good for them. Yeah, good for them to feel good for a week. But yeah, like you said, it's like you go through everything, and it's like, okay, how fast can you win with this group? And it starts with the QB, doesn't it?
Yes, and it has to. And that to me is where the first part of this is going to be judged by the coach. You know, I say that though. I mean, if the coach doesn't, I think if the coach doesn't like the quarterback, they're probably not taking the job. Probably not going to be like if they're meeting with Mike Borgonzi and he's like, you know what, I really don't think Cam Ward's any good. Probably not going to be taking the job. And I know that we've talked about throughout the year and people have brought up like, well, if it's gone that bad for Cam Ward and at the end of the year the numbers are that bad, do you consider drafting another quarterback when the time comes? And look, if the numbers are bad at the end of the year, the way they're trending to be right now, people are going to bring that up. I just don't see that happening. Like, I'm trying to live in the land of reality, and I don't see that happening from the Borgonzi standpoint at all. Of, yeah, I know I just drafted this guy number one overall last year, but we're going to go draft another quarterback now. Thanks.
Right. Like, people don't put the kick me sign on themselves. Someone comes up to them and pats them on the back, right? I mean, that would be Borgonzi with, fire me! Fire me now!
Right.
Artie Fufkin, kick my ass! Have you watched Spinal Tap yet? Artie Fufkin! Artie Fufkin, Polymer Records!
I've heard you make that joke enough now that I knew exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah, see? That's good. But it's even better if you actually watch it.
I guess so. That's next on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Office Space checked out.
That's right.
It was good.
I'm not steering you wrong.
It was good. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Titans fans, where are you on the coaching search for the Tennessee Titans? We are not that far away from the Titans having to make a decision on that front. Who is the leader in your clubhouse for the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans? We'll take your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium coming up on Tuesday, December 30th. Tennessee taking on Illinois. Caller number two. Quick draw. We'll win a pair of tickets to see Tennessee and Illinois in the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl coming up on Tuesday, December the 30th, a 4:30 start time on that day. So looking forward to that coming up. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Real quick on that last conversation, one texter says, I'm okay with the Titans winning and losing draft spots as long as it's because of Cam Ward. At this point in the season, I want to feel good about him going into the offseason more than I care about the draft position. And I don't hate that. Like, ultimately, he is the most important part of this franchise right now. And if he can string together some performances at the end of the year where you look at it and you say, all right, you know, the numbers for the majority of the season were rough, but he figured some things out as time went along, and he was able to put some good performances together at the end of the year. I think you go into the offseason on a high note at that point if you're a Titans fan and you're excited about what it could be moving forward. Like even Sunday, right? It's like, you know, the Titans won the game. Tony Pollard, I guess for a day, turned into prime Derrick Henry out of nowhere, and it was wild to watch on that front.
Sure.
The Titans offensive line somehow stonewalled the best pass rusher in the league, and everything worked out nicely for the Titans on Sunday. And yet, Joe, it's still a game where you look at it and it's like, well, the Titans won the game. Cam Ward wasn't very good. Like, he was 14 of 28. Good to have a couple of touchdown passes in there, but you know, he threw a pick in the game. He was kind of inaccurate in the game. So that game, to me, would not qualify as one of those games of you walk away from it feeling great about what Cam Ward put on display on Sunday.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's Cam Ward. You know, that, I don't know if you read the Nate Tice piece on Cam Ward for Yahoo, a very extensive deep dive. Again, this is before this particular game, and it was very I'd say optimistic about Cam. So and look, I think some good points made in that piece about how the lack of good parts around him and in different situations have, like, it's hard, you know, like you have to look at that and take it into account. You know, I still think that you can watch someone play just like we did with Will Levis last year, and there's still a fair amount of evaluation that can take place, and not all of it is warm and fuzzy. You know, I mean, it's again the just missing some stuff that has to be automatic every single time continues to happen with him. Does that ever end? I mean, at some point that stuff has to be reduced, and I don't think that that's dependent on anybody else. I think that's just straight up like he has to get more consistent with just what he's doing. Take everything else away. He's standing in. He's throwing. There's an open target. He's just missing it, you know? But I also think that there's a lot like, what is it if you do? That's the thing. We can go through everything and dice up all the numbers and look at the film and do all that stuff. And you still can't quantify what having confidence as a quarterback in my protection is going to hold. And having time built up with receivers too, right? Having time, years with guys to where it's like we're on the exact same wavelength. I know exactly where he's going. Stuff like that, you can't quantify it, And you can't quantify everything. We try with this stuff, but it really isn't possible. So there's a little bit of just faith that you have to have, that he's going to figure it out. But also, in tandem with that, he's not going to figure it out unless you fix a lot of things.
Yeah. So, like I said, we're not that far away from a coaching search that I guess officially takes place. I mean, the Titans, I'm sure, have been doing their due diligence and going through this behind the scenes for the last few weeks, kind of putting their board together and seeing who their target is going to be. And then, by the time next month rolls around, we're going to find out who the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans is. And I wonder, as Titans fans have gone through this process and as more information becomes available because of the results of the season, where are Titans fans kind of leaning as to who they want to be as the next head coach? I mean, Joe, when this conversation started, Cliff Kingsbury was tossed in there as a name, people to watch. Then you look at what's happened in Washington this year. And I know a big part of it is, Jaden Daniels has been injured throughout the year, but they're not very good, and I wonder if the shine's come off that a little bit. Joe Brady was a name that's mentioned a lot. I mean, I'm looking at the actual odds, which I don't believe have been updated since November the 7th, but this were the latest odds that I can find on DraftKings of the odds to be the next head coach for the Titans. Matt Nagy, the favorite, at plus 400. Arthur Smith is at number 2 at plus 500, and Cliff Kingsbury at number 3 at plus 650. And
wow, then you go that down, one surprises me.
It surprises me, too. You go down the list a little bit further, and there's, McCarthy and Brian Flores and Robert Salas at plus 1,200, and Jim Schwartz is down there. I mean, they've even got Eddie George on the list at plus 1,400.
There so we go.
There's a lot of different names that we've thrown out there and talked about. I just wonder at this point, as we sit here today, where are Titans fans leaning? Because decision time is coming up here in the next few weeks.
Yeah. It's really interesting. We've talked, if you base it on our discussions, if Vegas was listening to this show, Robert Saleh would not be there on the odds. But I mean, I have no, I have no idea. Just because it seems like a good culture coach option, which of course with some good possibilities to pair him with in terms of an OC. I mean, maybe the Titans have no interest in that. I mean, Nagy makes sense. Because of the Borgonzi connection. But, I mean, I have no idea. Maybe Kaharski can tell us when he comes in here, that if he's had any inklings of anything. But, it's like, again, the whole scene could be totally disrupted if, Tomlin just got a big win in Baltimore, So, I mean, okay. So
Aaron Rodgers wants everybody to shut up now.
So yep. Yeah, leave us alone. It's like you're the one saying people don't show up at workouts, dude. Maybe this means Harbaugh. Maybe Harbaugh's out.
Well, maybe.
Maybe both Harbaughs. But, that's the thing. It's like there is a huge possible disruption in the entire scene here. But I think if you're the Titans, if you really like someone and if you really like someone who is, I guess, attainable, because, again, I just feel like a Tomlin would be – I think he'd have his pick of any franchise, and I just don't think he would – like this, the way this looks, especially going from that ownership to this ownership. Do the Titans have someone that they've really, that they're starting to really like home in on?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, Nagy, obviously there's the Borgonzi connection there. Now, as you know, I heard this conversation brought up a lot in the aftermath of Kansas City. Like, what's Andy Reid going to do? Is Andy Reid coming back next year? I mean, look, he's, you know, the idea of Andy Reid retiring has been thrown out there like 100 times over the last 5 years. But all they've done is kept winning and showing up in Super Bowls. And so, like, I understand Andy Reid from that standpoint not wanting to retire because it's like, yeah, my team's really darn good and I can roll off a lot of championships here. Does he look at what's going on this year with the Chiefs if it ends up playing out the way it looks like it's going to right now and they miss the playoffs? Does he come back next year or does he look at it and say, you know what? I've had a great run. This is awesome. But we're going through a little bit of a transition here with the Chiefs. And at this point, it's time for me to step away. I mean, you know, he's 67 years old. How much longer does he want to do it? I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
So are you asking this question in terms of him looking around at another job or just in terms of the nagging impact?
If Andy Reid left, or if he decided to retire, would Nagy be on the Chiefs' radar? I mean, I would have to think he would get an interview,
yeah,
at least.
He'd get an interview. That's a really interesting thing. It's like, you don't want to continue this? And, you know, really, he actually did okay. Mitch Trubisky, everybody, you know. But at the same time, I could also see the, you know what, go get the best possible, whoever that would be. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. It's Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Again, go get Tomlin or whatever. I don't know. Whoever may be out there, whoever. So, I would have to think that he'd at least be taken seriously as a candidate.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you feel like Tomlin, if he were something were to happen with the Steelers, it almost feels like he could pull a Vrabel and take a year off before jumping right into another job?
Yeah.
You know, like Tomlin, Harbaugh, you wonder.
But remember, Vrabel wanted the Chargers job, and he would have gone right there, but Harbaugh beat him out.
Okay.
So it wasn't just like Vrabel's like, I'm taking a year off. He was like, yeah, okay, I'll let Amy pay me for a year. But he was going to take that job. He wanted the Chargers job, which I get because people are like, yeah, I want that as my quarterback.
Right.
So I think that's the answer. It's like if there's a job that's like, oh,
really,
yeah, but if not, sure. He can
just sit out a year.
He can sit out a year and he'll
see what happens.
He'll get a suite. Yeah. I mean, he'll have options next year too.
Yeah, he's been around forever, Tomlin. He's still only 53. Like, he could still do this for a long time, right? I mean, that's, you know, he's still got a lot of, if he wants to, a lot of years left in front of him coaching, I would assume.
So you're saying 53 is young?
Yeah. Okay. From a head coach. Maybe not for an NFL quarterback.
Well, that's true. When Rivers is still winging it around in 9 years, man, he's definitely a Hall of Famer then.
Yep, no doubt. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Titans fans, where do you stand on the coaching search? Who is your number one candidate? We'll take your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game, taking your thoughts on the Titans and the coaching search on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's welcome in Dylan in Nashville to the program. Dylan, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Guys, good morning. Thanks for taking the call, man. I just think if the Steelers are stupid enough to let Mike Tomlin walk, you know, the Titans better be first in line. I don't think the guy's ever had a losing season. And, again, he's only 53. That is young. If we're using the Andy Reid timeline, he could coach for another 10, 15 years or so. So I wouldn't want him to take off a year either. I think this young roster that Borgonzi built, he really knocked it out of the park with this rookie class. But I think they need that culture set or like right now. And there's nobody better to set that culture than Mike Tomlin. I mean, if you get all those rookies learning from him on the jump, you know, just look what he did with the Harrisons and the Polamalus of the world, man. So I'll hang up and listen, guys. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Dylan. Appreciate it.
Got to have some Harrisons and Polamalus too.
It's true.
No, he's really good.
I mean, side note, you know the craziest thing about Polamalu, you know, him using the time up that jump over the line of scrimmage was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, man, he was, I mean.
Still in commercials out there.
Yeah.
Elite hair.
Amazing lettuce. Yeah. You had the time period where you had Polamalu and Ed Reed both playing safety in this league.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It was
pretty good stuff. I mean, in terms of the culture setting, I would assume you can't do a whole lot better than Tomlin based on who could be available this offseason. Now, we'll see. I mean, right now they're winning the division at the moment. So if they go on to win the division, we'll see what they do in the playoffs. I know that there is a lot of noise around him right now in terms of, you know, he's been there a long time. if they don't have any sort of postseason success this year, could it be one of those things where both the Steelers and him are looking for maybe something different at that point?
Yeah.
I don't know. If I had to guess right now, Joe, my guess is he's probably still going to be the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers next year. But I don't know that. We'll see.
I would guess that too, but I'd still only be like 65-35 or something, or 60-40. And again, I think a lot of it is it's not just – like the caller was like, if they're stupid enough to move on again, I think it would have to be a somewhat mutual decision.
It would be.
Just like, you know what? Again, Andy Reid, again, Charles brought up the Andy Reid example on our show, and I think it's perfect. It's just like, okay, you know what? Like, new stuff for everybody sometimes is just the way to go.
Well, and the other part of that is, you know, if they don't win any playoff games this year, are you going to just trot Rodgers back out there again next year? Like, he's been fine. Like, he's not been bad or anything this year. But, you know, at some point, if you're in the Steelers organization, it's like, you know, we gotta find our quarterback of the future here. So, I don't know. Like, I mean, you could throw Aaron Rodgers out there, I guess, at the age of what would be 43 at that point again next year. But is that going to change the math all that much as to what you are right now? I don't think so. So I guess my point in all that is saying, if it doesn't work out this year and they don't do anything in the playoffs, and they end up drafting 23rd or whatever they're going to be at that point, is Mike Tomlin going to be like, you know what, let's go try to identify a quarterback late in the first round,
yeah,
and sit through all that again?
Right, or try to move up. Yeah, I mean, they're the definition of, you know, wandering through the quarterback desert, a lot, you know, somewhat like the Colts. You know, the late stages of Roethlisberger, and you try Russ and all this stuff, and you draft Pickett and Fields, and yep. Yeah. So I think that there's an absolute limit on what Aaron Rodgers is anymore and what you can do with him, unless you have a great team, and they don't. That's the thing too. I mean, they're great. They got some great players on defense who are older. I could make the case for Tomlin. As incredible as that tradition is, and again the ownership and all that stuff, that it's not a great situation. I don't think a lot of other coaches would be out there winning 12, 13 games, winning playoff games with that group.
Right. Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Josh in Clarksville to the program. Josh, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. I was just going to say, I think there's a candidate that a lot of people haven't mentioned that I think the Titans should go after. They should go after the defensive coordinator of the Texans, Matt Burke.
Yep.
Because they have that number one defense in the league. But knowing the Titans, we'll probably end up with a retreaded Kevin Stefanski. And I'll just hang up and listen. You guys take care.
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it.
Okay, so I understand. I'm not saying he's not a good DC. I'm sure he is. Okay, but like, this is where is it his schematics? Is it his game planning, or is it the absolute monsters that they have on that defense that are, and again, that's how people get opportunities, so I get it. But I always have a buyer beware when it's like, again, everybody on college football is like, Matt Patricia, oh my God. Like, yeah, man. I mean, he's got like three first rounders out there killing people. It's,
well, and don't forget who their head coach is. It's D'Amico Ryan, who's you know,
he's a
defensive guy. That's how he got his
right.
That's how he got the job. I mean, D'Amico Ryans was a really good defensive coordinator. Yeah. So, look, again.
And you could make the case, by the way, he was a really good defensive coordinator with a loaded San Fran right. team. So, I mean, I'm not saying it can't work out, but I still have a little bit of, okay, how much is him? How much it is just, you know.
But.
Stingley and
to that
Anderson
point,
and,
again, as we've talked about a lot throughout this process, yeah, he'd be on my radar. Why not? Interview him. I mean. I think you should cast – I mean, that's the benefit of firing your coach when you did. I would assume at this point the net has been cast pretty wide. And then, you have your conversations, you do your due diligence, and you narrow that pool as time goes on. But, I mean, look, you know, I mentioned the odds earlier. You know, Eddie George is on the list. I don't know how much serious consideration that would get. I mean, on down the list is Marcus Freeman in terms of the odds. I mean, I'd probably give him a call and see what his interest level would be. I have serious doubts that he would want to move from Notre Dame to coaching the Tennessee Titans, but you make the phone call, I think, if you're the Titans at that point.
Yeah, sat out of a bowl game. Notre Dame got screwed. Maybe it's time to head on to the NFL.
Maybe that's why he sat out the ball game. He's like, you know what? I gotta really get ready for this interview with the Titans.
I got some interviews coming up. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I agree on casting a wide net. Now, I don't like what's the. I mean, you can't interview like everybody, right? Like, you still have to at some point. Like, you have to like. I mean, what's the max of how many people you would actually go through the entire interview process?
The whole
with?
Process with? I think that's more limited. But I like
5 or 6.
But I would assume over the last couple of months here that they've been working on this behind the scenes and
would,
talking about.
I
this.
Would hope so. Yeah. I would definitely hope so.
I mean, I guess that's more what I'm talking about. Of as you've gone through this process, I would hope that it's included a lot of different people and thoughts, and then you ultimately it's their job to be ready for this by the time the calendar shifts to when you start hiring coaches and go through your interview process. Absolutely. And hopefully they are.
Absolutely. And obviously with someone like McCarthy.
You can talk to him anytime you want.
Yeah. You would think that would be.
And he could be sitting in the building right now for all I know.
Yeah. You'd think that one would be pretty well figured out. And maybe there's really not much interest. I don't know. But that's a benefit you have of someone who's not actively in the NFL. Jason Glitzville says, I placed a small wager on a long shot like Sarkisian. Absolutely loves Texas. Sark mentioned coaching the pros. Well, I mean, remember, Diana Rossini reported a few weeks ago that his representatives, I don't remember the exact wording. Was it like were potentially interested in the NFL? Was actually the Titans actually mentioned?
I don't think it was the Titans specifically.
Okay. But it was just basically like, Sarkisian could be open. I think it was like could be open to the NFL, and of course he then was like, "No, that's not true." But I mean, obviously there was someone representing him. I would say had some inkling or some reason to say something like that. So yeah, I mean, I could see Sarkisian is one of those guys who I could see crossing over to the NFL. For sure, I think that's possible. People talked about Lane Kiffin. Is that exciting if you're a Titans fan? I don't know. I have a little buyer beware on that too. Just on the almost all college guy coming in to be your head coach. It has worked at times, but way more than not, it hasn't worked.
By the way, this is what Rossini said. She said at the time, I think this was in late October. Quote: I'm told that that representatives for Texas coach Steve Sarkisian have let NFL decision makers know that he would be interested in potential head coaching openings, including the Titans. Now, I think the Titans at that point may have been
the only opening one. Yeah.
But.
Or it's just like you have to mention even the Titans.
Even the Titans. Yeah.
Believe it or not.
He might even be open to that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the coaching search. We will get into the Predators in the next hour as well. Paul Kuharski with us later in the show. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.